I'm going to start by reading the text. You don't need to look it up. I normally wouldn't recommend that. We like to do expository preaching, and you need to be interacting with the word. It's very familiar. It's short. Why don't you just sit and listen? Exodus 20, verse 12 is my text. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Let's pray. Father, as we look at this fifth commandment to honor our father and our mother, a commandment that has implications for now and has implications for eternity, would you please open up your word to us? I pray that the listeners, that their hearts would be attuned, that the hearts of that the ears of their heart would be open to hear your voice, not my voice. I just pray that you would speak to us in this short time that we have together and teach us from this text. Pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. What would you be willing to do if you were given a conditional promise that, if you did it, your life would be great? Would you do it? As you know, and has been announced, the preaching team has been working through a series on the Ten Commandments, and today we come to the fifth commandment. The commandments are divided into two tablets. Originally, the commandments were written on stone tablets, and we talk about two tablets. The first tablet has four commandments, and they deal with our relationship, how we are to relate to God in the vertical way to God. And then the second tablet has six commandments, starting with this one that I'll be preaching on, that deal with our horizontal relating, our relationship to other people. And the fifth command is the very first in this section. And it offers just such a conditional promise that if you'll do it, your life will be great. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long, and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So our theme for today, honoring your parents brings on the promise of a good life, or honoring your parents activates the promise of a good life. To understand the command and the promise that it brings, we will be answering three questions. What is required in the command? What is the promise for following the command? And what is the significance of the command, or why does it matter? So what's required, what's the promise, and why does it matter? Under the heading of what is required, I've got 3 points. Point number one, the command to honor your father and your mother is not a prohibition, but an exhortation. It commands us to do something good rather than refrain from doing something bad. Do honor your parents. Why is that different? Why am I pointing that out? Because the other 9 commandments are all prohibitions. They imply, perhaps, that we will be instead active in the good things that they don't prohibit. And later teaching from Scripture does exhort the good things to do inside the brackets of the command, those prohibitions. For example, the New Testament teaches that we as men are to love our wives, that we're to protect them, that we're to take pleasure in them, and many other things. But the Ten Commandments, in the Ten Commandments, the prohibition is emphasized. Do not commit adultery. The command to honor your parents reverses its pattern. It implies the prohibition. You shouldn't dishonor your parents. You shall not dishonor your parents. If it was written in the Ten Commandments, that's how it would read. But it instead emphasizes the positive action. So there's something very significant in honoring parents, where God places inside the Ten Commandments a unique and exclusive emphasis on it. We have an action command, not an inaction command, a go-do command, not a stay-away-from command. And what does that mean? It means that for us in the application, there's a special emphasis of pursuit and intentionality that is called for. You need to plan for and move into action to honor your parents. Point number two under the heading of what is required, the command is to honor. We tend to think that honor here is obedience. And the scriptures do teach that to obey is to honor. In two New Testament passages that expand on this command, one which Cyril just read, but I'll quickly read it one more time, Ephesians 6, verse 1 through 3, it says, you can just listen, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father." You hear that? Obey. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Verse 2, "Honor your father and your mother." So obedience is being connected with honor. It's referring to that fifth commandment that we're talking about, and it uses obey. "Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." So it repeats the command. So the point there is obedience and honor are strongly connected in the New Testament expansion of this. Also in Colossians 3, verse 20, Colossians is the sister book to Ephesians, similar in structure. So actually those two books are often used to interpret each other because each book brings a nuance. The structure is very similar, the content's very similar, and then the nuances really help to give us a full-orbed understanding of what's being said. In Colossians 3, verse 20, it says this, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." Now, I hope you heard that, kids. It says, obey your parents in everything. That's a lot of obedience. And without spending a lot of time here, there are cultural voices that speak to us and hear that, and they say, you cannot be serious in everything. And by the way, I'm going to refer to voices, and this is what I mean by voices. Voice, when I'm talking about voices here, I'm talking about things that we may not be audible, but that we hear. See, when we're in our own private thought world, we may think something like this. You're just about to write an important test, and you hear this voice, you will fail. Could be from you, could be from a parent, but you're hearing that voice. And that's usually a voice from the enemy trying to discourage you. Or you might be at church, and you, out of the corner of your eye, you see somebody standing alone, and you hear this voice, you should go talk to them. So that could be God's voice. That's the Spirit's voice. So there's just voices. And a cultural voice is also a voice. It's a culture says, you know, you ought to dress a certain way. There's good ways that works out. We stick out our hand for a handshake. There's a voice that tells us, you know, when you meet somebody and you want to show them respect, you stick out your hand and you shake their hand. So these are the voices that we hear. Back to the sermon. So you hear these culture voices that says, you can't be serious. Our culture loves independence, and obedience interferes with, and it ruins the complete independence that we are taught to crave. But that voice is really a lying voice, we're discovering today as we read this text. Now, kids between the ages of 3 and 18, can I just have your ear and your attention? Can you just listen to this? Can you think about this? Will you give up on independence? Will you give up on making your own choices, deciding yourself what is best for you, and trust your parents? Can this command and the promise that it gives you convince you to think in this way or something like this? If I really want to be happy, I will obey my parents all the time and in everything. That's what it says. And if I want my life to be bad, I won't. So it would be better for me to think about obeying. So to honor is certainly to obey. At least to obey. But honor also actively guards your parents' reputation and well-being. I'll say that again. Honor is actively guarding your parents' reputation and their well-being. Now, this cuts a wider swath of inclusion, both in what it requires and whom it is required from, doesn't it? It's wider because it is more than obedience, but it is wider because it applies to everyone, not just those who still live with parents, and not even just those whose parents are still alive on earth. Yes, honoring your parents does not end when your parents die. Just as a parenthesis, we believe in eternal life anyway. You know, so your parents are alive somewhere. But there's no indication in this command that it ends when they die. Honoring parents is, just like every single other command in the Ten Commandments, a lifelong command. We are to obey as long as we are living. We are to honor our parents. Even the memory and legacy of your parents must be honored to realize this promise. Now, time doesn't permit an exhaustive study of all the practical ways to honor our parents outside of obedience as children, but we'll quickly look at two examples that the Bible provides to study what this could look like. The first example we'll look at is in the form of a narrative where the principle of protecting reputation is taught. Does anyone remember the story of what Noah did when he got back off the ark? If you turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis 9, verse 20 through 27, we'll read that story. Genesis 9, verses 20 through 27. Noah gets off the ark, just honored God, was the one man and his family accounted righteous. God put him on the ark. He gets off. And in verse 20 it says, Noah began to be a man of the soil, and he planted a vineyard. He drank of the wine and became drunk and lay uncovered in his tent. And that lay uncovered, that's a euphemism. I mean, they're being careful with the language, but Noah was naked, and he didn't start drinking wine in his tent. He was outside the tent, and he got naked and then ended up in his tent. So Noah was out going nuts. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. And the implication is, and you'll see it later, that he was kind of snickering. He thought it was a bit of a joke. Then Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and walked backwards and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned backward, and they did not see their father's nakedness. When Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his youngest son had done to him, he said, "Cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be to his brothers." He also said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth, and let him dwell in the tents of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant." Now we read that story, and we expect moral judgment of Noah, don't we? He's drunk, he's naked, making a complete idiot of himself. So I'm sure that God dealt with Noah on his sin, but that is not what is mentioned. That is not the point of this story. That's not why it's in the Bible. The point of the story is to show how two sons honored and one son dishonored their father's reputation. Shem and Japheth honored their father in spite of their sin and were blessed. And Ham didn't and was cursed. Now, I remind you that we will address difficult cases at the end. But this example should inform how quickly we conclude that our case is a difficult case. Have your parents been seen getting completely obliterated on wine and running around in the buff? Let's not make excuses for ourselves. Let's not gossip and complain about them. Let's not resent them. Let's not ignore and ridicule them because of their sin or their weakness or frailties. If we do, we're in a dangerous place. We need to guard their reputations. We need to guard it like a soldier guarding a post. We're not leaving that post. We're going to guard their reputations. The second biblical example that we'll look at illustrates the principle of honoring our parents by guarding their well-being. Let's turn to Matthew 15, verses 1 through 6. Matthew 15, verses 1 through 6. This is a story where the principle of honoring our parents by guarding their well-being is illustrated in the negative, where it's not being done, and by the judgments that Christ has against that behavior. Matthew 15, verse 1. Then the Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." He answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'Whoever reviles father and mother must surely die.' But you say, 'If anyone tells his father or mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father.' So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites!" And he goes on to pronounce an indictment and judgment over them. Here the point is that the Pharisees had led the people of Israel to forsake honoring their parents. They're not providing for their parents and their need, and they have allowed a loophole in the command where God does not. Physical care was being neglected and essentially being refused. It was an excuse. And what is an excuse but a masked refusal? It's when we don't really want to say the real reason we don't want to do it, because then we might actually have to do it. An excuse is making up something that can't be refuted so that you don't have to do what you really should. Jesus has very hard words for these people about this dishonor. He even, I don't know if you noticed that, but in the text, he even reminds them that the death penalty was required in the Old Testament for failing to honor your parents. He warned them that they were in danger. Honoring our parents requires us to take care of their physical and, where called for, emotional needs when they are no longer able to. So that's our longest point, but I wanted to spend time there because the application that we're going to get to later really hinges on a clear understanding of what honor means and what it entails. So what's required is that we honor our father and mother by honoring their memory. Honor is why. And point number three is simple. The command is to honor your father and your mother. Your father and your mother. Let me suggest that the inclusion of mother here, and this is a patriarchal culture, you got to remember, is significant. And it has this significance. And I think it still actually applies to us today. It's easy to love mom. Sometimes harder to love, honor and respect her. And I think maybe this is because so often the warm care and nurture that moms bring and they bring to the relationship brings them so close and intimate that we forget to grant them the respect and honor that we give those who stand more aloof and more distant. Often mom doesn't demand the same respect or inspire the same fear that leads to respect. And here God is saying to us, give the same care and effort to obeying and protecting mom's reputation and well-being as you give to dad. Or if it's the other way around and you find it hard to honor and respect dad, the point is the same. You must give it to both parents in equal measure. No favorites. So, honoring your parents is an active command. Honor speaks well of. Honor cares for. It springs into motion. Honor is applied in equal measure to each of your parents. Honor pursues obedience. It chases after their well-being. It's intentional and active in upholding their reputation. Honor is lifelong. It's a lifelong command. This is what the command requires. Which brings us to The second question that we want to answer, what does the command promise? The promise is this, that it may go well with you. As we saw, as was mentioned earlier, the fifth command is the only one that exhorts. That's a go-do command. But it's also the only one that is coupled to a promise. Now, in other places in the law, and in the first five books of the New Testament, the Torah, the other nine commandments in the Ten Commandments are also coupled to this same promise of well-being. To honor your parents is not unique in that way in the treatment that it gets in the first five books, but it's unique in the treatment that it gets this way in the Ten Commandments. Why? Why did God choose to emphasize that promise in the Ten Commandments? Well, I think that God is explaining to us that you are more likely to keep every other commandment if you honor your parents. So in other words, honor, listen to, respect, submit to, obey your parents, and that will be a guard against committing adultery. That will be a guard against stealing, a guard against coveting, and against breaking the other commandments, opening up the way for the promise to be applied to you. If we let our parents' wisdom and instructions guide us, if we will listen to their voice, if we will think of our parents, yes, and this is where it gets a little hard for some of us, but stay with me here. If we will think of them as better than us, in a way, not in value, but in authority, in importance, in informed opinions, in foresight, often in character, not always, but often just living in the world for a long time builds character. You come up against the rough edges of the world and you're smoothened, often in character. And their ability to make decisions for you, not with you, not for themselves, but for you. Then we are better positioned to keep the rest of the law and realize the promise connected to the entire law and the entire commandments. Does that seem hard? It is hard. Since the fall, humankind has been desperate to escape submitting. We can only do this with God's marvelous power working in us. We call that power God's marvelous grace. But though it's not easy, remember this about the commandments. It makes it easier. The commandments are for our good. Commandments are not a burden. They're for your good. To mark clearly for you the pathway of blessing to you. Let me read for you Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 and 13. This is a passage, you've heard this passage, but listen to it again. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And really, that's a summary of what the commandments are intended to do. It's an expression of our love. God has thought through, how can you best express the love that you should have for me after all that I've done for you? And he says, here's the Ten Commandments that will help you to do that very thing. And to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. It's for you. It's for your good. God is sovereign. God is wise. He knows all things. And God knows that parents are highly invested. They make sacrifice after sacrifice. Kids, I've got a secret for you. Parents don't like poopy diapers. Parents don't like cleaning up barf. They don't like taking kids covered in blood to the emergency room to get stitches. They don't like worrying about how to pay the bills. And they don't like minivans and family sedans better than Porsches and Corvettes. Why do they make these sacrifices? Because they care about you. They care about you. That's why they keep investing and investing. Parents have every reason in the world to steer you in the right direction. You ever write an essay and halfway through the computer goes bloop and it's gone? You don't know where it was here and it's not anymore and it's gone and I want to die. Your life getting messed up is like losing a file that they have been working on day in and day out for 5, 8, 13, 18 years. You think they want to lose that file? Come on. So God wants to use the people who have made the largest investments, who have got the most at stake, to guide you, and those people are your parents. Does that make sense? And we talked about how the inclusion is wide to honor for the adults. The way to honor your parents looks different. But the principle doesn't, and the application of the promise isn't different. Honoring them as above you in stature and accomplishment will affect your life. To begin with, it will help mortify some of the pride that we struggle with, that we're so prone to. It's to practice intentionally honoring someone who has done so much for us. You know, we can struggle with taking care of our parents when they get old. We're used to receiving care. We're used to receiving support and them doing things to help us when we're growing up. Then we get into our comfortable middle-aged life and our energy levels begin to dwindle a little. And we might whine and we might resent the intrusions into our nice world. In short, we're tempted to dishonor them. And we are in danger of breaking this command and it won't go well for us. If you dump off a parent in a nursing home to get rid of them, and I'm not saying that if your parent is in a nursing home, hear me please, that that is what happened. There are many good reasons for a parent to be in a nursing home, for their protection, for their safety, for their care, and there are many good nursing homes. I'm not saying that. But if you've done it to get rid of them, I'm just asking you, evaluate your heart when you're in regard to your care to your elderly parents. Do you visit them regularly, intentionally? Do you look forward to it? Do you pray for them? Do you send them encouragement notes? Do you remember important dates, dates that would be important to them? Do you ask them to tell you stories about things they love to remember? And there's usually quite a few of those stories when they get to be older. There's just a few examples of ways to continue to honor them, ways to maybe evaluate your heart if it's not quite right. If your heart posture is wrong, pray and ask God for a new one, for their sakes, but for your sake. Then the promise will be yours. Now, I do want to bring some distinction to what it means to have a good life. We've been talking about a good life, the long life, the good life. What is that? It does not mean, I'll tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that life will be without suffering. That's too narrow a definition. Honoring our parents will not prevent times of trial. Now, it may help avoid some avoidable suffering because of their foresight. But it's no guarantee that everything will go exactly the way we'd like it to. That's not what it means. It will keep us, though, in the place of God's blessing, where we can access God's resources through the word and through prayer. And when we are fortified with God's resources, we can face every circumstance, even difficult ones. I think the promise really does say that many times it will go well in ways that we would like. But it will also go well when things are difficult. The most powerful illustration of suffering by honoring your parents is the life of Christ. He honored his Father in everything. He honored his Father in everything. He went as far as to say, as an adult, as a healer, as a highly regarded teacher, as a public speaker, a prophet with an itinerant national ministry, to declare that he said nothing that his Father did not tell him to say first. And yet, though obedient, completely obedient, he suffered. And because he was obedient, he suffered. Jesus went to the cross out of obedience. But he had peace. He was affirmed by his Father. He had the full pleasure of his Father, aside from when God's wrath was poured out on him and all the displeasure that God had with us was placed on Christ. But in everything else, God had full pleasure with everything that he did. And upon completing his life of obedience, he entered into the best life imaginable. In keeping, in the same way that this promise of honoring brings on a good life, Christ modeled that to a T. Eternal honor and glory and majesty and approval from God the Father. And those who do not join in honoring Jesus' Heavenly Father by trusting in his obedience and honoring which he performed for us will enter into the worst life imaginable. Why would you make eternal suffering your choice to have your independence? Why would you do that when the choice of obedience will give you instead? Yes, you will lose your independence. It will get crushed. But you will have eternal bliss. Which leads to the last question that we will answer. Why does this command matter so much to God? What is the significance? Well, the command's significant because God said, do this. Right there, it has significance. The creator of the universe said, do this. That should be enough motivation. But I think there's a little more that's offered in terms of motivation. This command and principle points to, as we've been talking about as we're leading up to this point, but they point to the most important and vital of all parent-child relationships, which is the relationship of God the Father with his children. The command to honor our parents prepares our hearts and postures them to receive instruction, care, and guidance from, and to give honor to our Heavenly Father. How does it do that? Well, it prepares our heart like this. It makes us dependent rather than independent. It gets us in the discipline of thinking that there's someone that's greater than us, more worthy of honor than us. And so it actually prepares us to receive the gospel one day, where we must be dependent, where we must honor the Heavenly Father who sent his Son to save us. We're almost through, but as promised, one last matter in conclusion, the hard cases. What do we do with the hard cases? Your parents are unbelievers and they want you to lie or cheat on a test so you can be the best in the class. Or your relationship with them is racked with pain that has been inflicted on you. You are physically, emotionally, or sexually abused by a parent or sometimes both. your parents divorced when you, and you felt abandoned physically, emotionally. You've been really, really wounded by a parent. Then what do we do? What do we do? Well, each case will be unique, and each case will require delicacy and wisdom to navigate through. There's no pat answer I can give you from a peer for each situation. Sometimes you may have to disobey parents to obey God. They may feel dishonored in spite of a heart that would like to honor. The best recommendation I can give you is to turn to people who are wise, who you know are objective, and who you know care about you, and ask them for advice as you make those very, very difficult decisions. There's cases where you just can't, it wouldn't be safe, it wouldn't be a good idea to be around a certain parent. And you'll need alternative ways, different ways, wisdom from maybe other people, help to find ways to honor your parents so that you can still receive this blessing. We don't want to lose out on the grace that's available by honoring mom and dad. But I believe God can show you ways to honor your parents no matter what. In fact, before we go, there's just several people in the church I would like to commend in this regard. I'd like to commend Brett and Janine, Steve and Shirley, and Tim and Joanne in particular as people that I think if you went to them, you're struggling with these issues, what do I do? How do I honor? Talk to those people. They've been so helpful to so many, and God's just given them a gift of wisdom and counsel. So let's try to think in the next while about ways to honor your parents no matter what. You can pray for that parent that hurt you so much, or maybe can you just speak well of their memory if they have died? Or even just find one little thing that they did that was admirable. Surely there's one little thing that they did. And rehearse it back to God as a prayer of thanksgiving, and rehearse it to yourself as something that, you know what, that's something I loved about mom or dad, or that's something I love about them now. Can you cast yourself on God with fear and trembling and say, I do not know how to do this, but I tremble to disobey you. Can you show me how? Because I want what you are offering, and I long for it, and I need your blessing. Amen.